Hey there, welcome to the 5 by the Fire podcast. I'm your host, Armand Sheffy, aka Pastor Fury, and I'm also the executive director of the Unshackled Network, a decentralized network of missionaries existing to help the marginalized experience freedom in Jesus through equipping and empowering disciple makers called to create family among the forgotten. And in this podcast, we take a passage from the day's reading, the McShane Bible reading plan, and we dive in for a handful of minutes. So grab a cup of coffee, cozy up like we're by the fire, and let's chat. This is 5 by the Fire. And in today's podcast, we read Deuteronomy 30, Psalm 119 through 73 through 96, Isaiah 57, and Matthew 5. Now today, we return to one of my favorite chapters of all of the Bible. It's Matthew 5 and the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount. Our second reading of this for the year, and we find it placed perfectly amongst Deuteronomy, Isaiah, and Psalm 19 as Jesus focuses his sermon on pointing to the law, his prophetic fulfillment of it, and the way toward blessing. Let's look at what has been more commonly known as the Beatitudes, as Jesus now presents a masterclass in happiness and living your blessed life now. In Matthew 5, 3 through 12, there's a whole lot of blessed R's going on as Jesus teaches the many that are gathered there, the countercultural way forward in his upside down kingdom. So let's look at Matthew 5, 3. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. The poor in spirit is a description that welcomes in the spiritually disenfranchised who know they could never compare to the Pharisees' supposed piety and who see themselves lowly and recognize in them no righteousness of their own. They are ripe to receive the righteousness of Christ and thus are in a good spot. So they're in. And guess what? If that's you, if you recognize you are lowly in spirit, like yours is the kingdom of heaven. All right, moving on. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Not that it is a joyous thing to be grieving some sort of tragedy or a loss that you have, you know, grown despondent toward, or even your own sin, but in so much as that when we mourn, our true relief and comforter is God. His spirit draws near the brokenhearted, right? Then we are in a blessed place. As we grieve our sin, he heals and forgives us. Freshly healed and forgiven are truly happy places to be. And then moving on, he says, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. This one speaks loudly to our Western culture of boisterous, proud winners and says, be humble. Jesus here calls us to a mild, gentle, long-suffering, and forgiving, not easily provoked, and slow-to-anger lifestyle. He says, those who can bear up quietly in submission to God in all circumstances are the ones who win in the end and experience true happiness even now. And then moving on, he says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. We know what it means to be hungry or thirsty, but for what? How can hunger make us happy if it is for righteousness' sake? That's how. Being thirsty to do what is right. Too often in our readings of the word righteousness, we simply think of, okay, that's right standing with God the Father, or righteousness in some simple, pious way. But the Greek word actually used here is dikaiosune, which defined means both justice and righteousness. All throughout the Old Testament, those two words are often linked together, where justice and righteousness are the foundation of God's throne, right? And we read this in many other languages, that word righteousness, that's translated righteousness for us. If we read it in like Latin languages, for instance, they use the word justicia, which, come on, that means justice. That's because they don't have a word for righteousness. And with those both being wrapped up in that word dikaiosune, we got to understand that those both have a role to play in how we should understand what Jesus is calling us to be hungry and thirsty for. So now read the passage again and recognize that Jesus is yet again calling us to pursue living rightly, yes, with God the Father, but also with a mindset of justice, which also includes our fellow man and their receiving what they are due. Moving on, blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. In the same way that God and his word tells us that those that give, they themselves shall receive, we are reminded that reaping and sowing also applies to mercy. This is the perfect follow-up to chasing justice and righteousness, right? Because sometimes what folks deserve are dire consequences. Now Jesus reminds us that he is a God of justice and of mercy. Give mercy and receive mercy. And then he says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. This now calls to mind those whose hearts are fully submitted to the Lord, those who are not just sprinkled by the blood of the Lamb, but covered, right? Not that they are flawless, but they are all in for God and desire to love him with all their heart, mind, soul, and strength. And then he says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Not talking about those who simply sit in silence, but those who work for their own peace and create a state of peace by word or deed wherever possible. Like, as far as it depends on you, be at peace with your brothers and sisters, it said in Romans. Those are the ones who, like gardeners, cultivate peace wherever they walk. This is the work of God's children. And then he wraps up this section talking about persecution being thing that leads to blessing. He says, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Guys, the world is coming after you, after me, because we live a life in Christ. And if that's true, we're blessed. Because of the work that you do for justice and righteousness, you will have enemies in this world. So did Jesus. So he reminds us to rejoice in the reviling, celebrate the slander, and he welcomes us in to the Dead Prophet Society. You're blessed. Let's pray that God would help us now be mindful of these 8 great but countercultural descriptors. We look to live our blessed life today as citizens of this upside down kingdom. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we are so grateful for your word as you continually remind us that we, while living in this world, are not of this world. That we have a citizenship of a place not like this one. There is a home that is not this one. We are just sojourners here. And Lord God, that we then need to conform our lives to the cultural truth of your word and not of the culture that we see amongst us. Lord God, help us to be thermostats here instead of those who are just thermometers, recognizing the waters that we live in. Lord God, help us through your work in our hearts, through your spirit, live out a life of true blessing. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. While you guys in prayer there, I got lost for a moment. Sometimes the Holy Spirit will meet you in places that I should expect because we're praying. I want to encourage you today as you go forward with the rest of your day that anticipate God's interruptions in your moment and recognize that as he works you out of the groove that you're in, that countercultural movement is for your good and for your blessing. So go, you guys. Subscribe, rate, share. You know all that business. But truly, be blessed and be a blessing. Peace.